Hi!
I'm Danny.
And I'm James.
And welcome to
Let's Talk! Oh my gosh. Again, really theatrical. We get better at this every week.
Today. I like that. I really enjoyed that.
Well, welcome back. We love to have you as always. And after last week's episode, Success versus Muggle Jobs, me and Danny were doing a bit of reflection on our success. And we thought, we're in week 11.
Can you believe it?
I know. How quick has this gone? And then we were thinking about all the amazing episodes that we've had. We've had Georgia in for casting, Richard in for inclusivity. We've spoke about drama schools, casting, everything in between. And shall I spill it now or shall I make everybody
wait? I don't know.
Okay, I'll do 50-50. I'll tell you this. So a topic very close to my heart, for those who know me, next week's episode will be Let's Talk Drag.
Yes. I am so excited for next week. It's going to be so good.
But I'm not going to spoil who it is next week. But I think you should introduce someone who's in the wings waiting for us this week.
Well, this week we have a very, very special guest lined up.
Very.
But unfortunately, they couldn't make it. So instead, we've got the gorgeous Beth Lilly.
Woo! What? Oh my God! What an introduction! Like that, I might cry.
Yeah,
oh,
it was.
Stop
it.
It
was beautiful.
To be the stand-in is just like, to be honest.
No, of course, baby, with the original headliner, obviously.
Obviously.
Because this week we are talking about dating cast members. Now, fun fact, Beth Lilly hasn't actually ever dated a cast member, but
no.
We just thought you'd be perfect for this episode because Beth is an actress. She has her own podcast called On Repeat, which is about reducing the stigma of OCD. And she's just an all-round fab gal. So welcome, Beth.
Thanks very much. Thank you. Can't wait to see, you know, what stories end up appearing.
and which ones actually make the cut.
Yeah. There's going to be a few where I'm like, actually, maybe don't put that in. That person will.
Don't worry. We'll fix it all in the edit.
So, Beth, do you want to tell us a little bit about yourself? Like this is a job interview or something?
Oh.
Just less cringe.
Well, I need a job interview because I'm currently unemployed. So
that's why we're doing
that's
why we're doing this.
How relevant after last week's episode?
Yeah.
Back to Muggle Jobs.
I messaged my friend being like, oh, I'm just really tired because I just got back from Edinburgh Fringe, which was really fun.
Oh, amazing.
But she was like, oh, I hope you've got a couple of days off so you can chill. And I was like, yeah, mate, I don't have a job. So I've got a few days off.
Yeah.
How to introduce myself? Well, my name is Beth, and I am an actress.
I'm an alcoholic.
You've just been absolutely fabulous in name drop the play that goes wrong on tour, playing the lead.
How did it go? It looked incredible.
It was very, very fun. And I was terrible.
Terrible. Slated in the reviews.
Yeah. Absolutely shocking performance, but I got paid.
I don't believe a word of that.
No, it was very fun because I understudied in that show in 2017 to 2018.
You did.
But so you never told us about it, ever.
Oh, I never talked about it. Oh, no. Wow. Then.
To be honest, I'm surprised they didn't give it to you sooner.
Well, aren't we all, James? I mean, really? TikTok took 5 years. No,
wasted.
I'm very, very, I would like to make, I'm very grateful to have been able to finally do it. And you learn a lot from understudying. Maybe we should do this episode on understudying. You know, I actually have done that.
I don't know whether we've actually, have we got an episode planned, Danny? Yeah, I've actually done it. Well, in fairness,
that's going in the next series.
Make a note. I would like to say, Beth, me and Danny threw this back and forth because we knew we've spoke about you so much on the podcast already.
Oh, guys, stop it.
And our time in Lichfield with Lucy was incredible.
It really was.
We threw it around and we went, is she going to be really offended if we put her in this episode?
No. Oh my God, I actually wish I was more interesting. I'm just aware that I'm actually shouting. You're going to have to turn my levels down massively because of my headphones. I'm like, well, I'm not anybody on a show. And yeah, I feel like I wish I was more interesting. I wish I had more to say. Don't get me wrong, I've dated a lot. I can talk about that. But just and I've dated actors for my sins.
Cheers to that.
I've dated many actors, which is very depressing, but never on a show. So yeah, but I'm sure, like I say, I'm sure between us things will come out. Like the time me and Danny hooked up. Wait.
Yeah.
We weren't going to mention that.
There's a dog involved and
the dog? What dog?
Do you not remember that time? Well, clearly not.
What, the time with the dog? The time where you f***ed the dog?
Do you remember when I came to your digs in Liverpool?
Oh my God. Okay, well, this is actually a genuine story because
I'm so glad it is because, my God, I thought we were going to have to cut and, like, get censors for a second.
Yeah.
But yeah, I did swear. With
bestiality. Oh, don't worry, we beast it out.
Okay, well, so Danny f***ed a dog. No, I'm just kidding. So, no, but I did have a showmance, actually. I don't know what I'm talking about saying I didn't. In Lichfield, on the job where I met both of you, the dog in the digs, absolutely loved that dog. He was called Charlie. He was a little cockapoo. But more scary, just gave myself a speech impediment. More scary.
Marion?
It was so scary
with the doggy. The dog like had some weird, I think it was a horny dog.
Yeah.
Like, It was quite awkward, like, because I was living with a sort of middle-aged man.
Your underwear.
Yes.
I totally forgot that.
But not clean underwear, like, from my dirty laundry. Like, rank. And it was just chewing away.
Selling it on eBay.
Yeah, I'm so scared that it got, like, that he was taking my underwear to the guy I was staying with.
Oh, my God.
Thing with the guy you were staying with, didn't you see like his arse or something?
Oh my God, I love how these stories escalate. So okay.
Anyone listening is going to be like, what were these doing for this show?
Yeah.
So Danny, you have completely escalated something
outed you on your own guest spot.
I'm so sorry.
However, the beautiful thing is it means
the rumors are true.
Yeah. Basically, there was a picture of a woman's caboose, like quite a big one, but it was reasonably like sort of arty. It was an arty arsey. Above his bed. Now, I did not go into his room, I would like to make clear.
You walked past, didn't you? And you just
And I just saw the arse. Yeah. Hey. I saw the crack through the crack. And I literally was like, okay, who am I living with? He was actually very nice though. Very nice man.
Very nice.
He just loves an arse above his bed. Right? I suppose that's okay.
You know.
Are you
saying that your one showmance that you have had was with that dog? Is that the bro of the comedy that we're going to go
with? I'm really sorry, because that is basically the most showmancy thing that's happened to me. I will just say, though, because, you know, Danny thought I'd seen the Diggs guy's arse.
Yeah.
That does remind me of when I was staying in some Diggs. Have I told you about the Naked Vicar?
No!
How have I not told you about the Naked Vicar? Oh, my God. I was staying with a lovely family. I won't say where, but they the man that lived there was the vicar of the church, and I don't know why that just makes it funnier for some reason, but they thought that I'd left the house already, because I'd said I was going at a certain time and then obviously was leaving 15 minutes later.
I don't like where this is going
brand.
Very on brand.
Very on brand. But basically, I left my room and literally as I opened my bedroom door, he opened the bathroom door and was just stuck naked. And we just did that thing. You know, like, I say it like it's happened to everyone, but you know that thing where you're like, you look them in, we looked at each other in the eye, and I just instantly looked at his dick. I just, that was just
at the least, at least you were polite. You made all contact like this. First.
Yeah, he went, ooh.
I love that this was a vicar as well, so a man of the cloth.
It was a vicar. And then the best thing was, like, I was so awkward that I just went, woo, and, like, ran down the stairs. And I heard his wife shout from the bathroom, we thought you'd gone.
She was in the bathroom with him.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that makes it even better.
I didn't bring it up when I next saw him. I chose to go with the ignorance thing of, like, let's pretend it never happened.
I mean, you have to, don't you? Or you'd be mortified.
You might have been sent to hell.
or that. How long, so how far through the run was that?
How many centimetres are we talking?
So we're talking.
Danny, he's a man of the cloth.
Sorry.
Go on, Beth. No. Was it good? Was it worth it?
Yeah, was it worth, I can't really remember. I mean, obviously, a flaccid willy is never.
The willy you want to see.
Never the willy you want. No. That is not to throw any shame.
He wasn't pointing towards God, will there?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
He didn't take me to heaven.
but, go on though. So how long through the run was it? Did you have to see him for loads after? Or
I think it was about three quarters of the way through. So like we just established just sort of we'd established that kind of classic when you're staying in digs, that sort of like, hi, neither of us want to actually speak to
talk
each other.
To each.
Just, yeah. Anyway, another showmance with a man, the naked vicar. There we go.
We love
See,
it.
I told you stories would come up. See?
You know, and you thought we wouldn't have anything to talk about.
Oh, Danny.
Oh, Danny.
Do you work in comedy?
She should do. I've said that.
You really should.
Guys,
she
I'm
really
available.
Should. Wasted potential. Go on, Danny. What about you then? Have you ever dated anyone? I know I've not. I'll throw that out there.
Just putting that out there now before I, you know, reveal my soul to the world.
So there's a reason we did this episode, guys, and it's Danny. She's dated everyone.
The whole of Spotlight.
She's ticking away through.
I just flick through looking for the next candidate. You know. Well, have I? Yeah, I guess so. Like, I actually weirdly sort of dated someone at Lichfield, but they weren't in the same show as me, but I wouldn't say dated, I would say snogged once. Weirdly though, before that I did another job where I'd started dating someone who we've all heard about.
Oh my God, I forgot about that person.
And
I
so
can't
there was a bit
name.
Of a weird let's not but there was a bit of a weird crossover between that one
and the other
and
person
and
that
the
we can't
one.
Name for legal reasons.
Yeah, exactly. But like, how funny. That's the only time I've really dated anyone from a show and both of them happened at the same time.
I think can it's because mine and Beth's energy crossed over and empowered you to be your true self.
Oh, I like to think so. Yeah. Can we just, I mean, I don't know if you wish to share this or not, Danny. Mm. I just remember something funny that maybe the person said. You can cut this out if you want. Wasn't there something to do with hump? Shall we hump? Have I made that up? Was that someone else?
That wasn't him.
Oh, got it.
That was my friend. So this is a good dating story of Carl. Well, she is in an orchestra, or was in an orchestra at the time. And someone in the orchestra, I think it was like, the conductor or something drove her home and said, like, should we go inside and hump?
Oh, my God.
Do you know
all
what?
Right, Alice the camel.
What a great word. If you had to attach that word to any profession, orchestra conductor would be the profession.
Hump.
He looks like a humper.
It's quite fun to say, isn't it?
Hump.
That's very similar.
Is hump a swear word? Am I going to have to bleep this out?
No. Is it? No, because kids sing Alice the Camel Had Five Humps, so surely not.
Yeah, I mean, different kind of hump, though, surely.
Yeah, well, it's not a swear word.
We don't know. We don't know what the conductor meant by that. We weren't there.
Well, all as I can say is, if you're listening to this when this airs and there's a lot of bleeping going on.
It's something a camel has.
Yeah, it's the thing on a camel's back.
Or there's a speed one in the road.
Ah,
do you say
a bump?
I say bump. Do you say hump?
Maybe. I say bump.
I really hope you're having to bleep this out, because it's just going
I might just do a bleeped version just to mess with us.
Yeah.
Oh, so funny.
Anyway, we were on a bit of a roll then. Where did we get to?
Me dating all these blokes.
Many men.
It sounds like I'm a prolific dater, but I'm really not, actually.
I am.
Yeah. Guilty as charged.
Sorry.
I know people who serial date in terms of they can't be on their own. I'd say you two are very comfortable with being single when you are single. Mm. But I know people who jump from relationship to relationship, like within a week or at least more than a month.
Yeah,
of being single, and I'm like, that's exhausting.
I know. Yeah. And it is one of those things though where you think about it and you're like, well, I guess I've been quite judgmental of that in the past.
Yeah,
I think something about the fact of growing older, you know.
Yeah.
I'm really being that
time's
podcast
getting on,
you know. I'm 30 now, everybody. No, I'm trying to be less
judgy. Are you actually 30?
Yeah.
No way.
I know. Oh, what the crazy.
But on the topic of cast members, I in one of my shows, someone told me that they were coming up for 30, and I genuinely thought they were younger than me, and I had a bit of an existential crisis.
I am having a lot. There's many things we could have done this episode about, because I'm quite obsessed about age at the moment and age within the industry. That's something I could talk about a lot. And I need to get over it. I'm just like, in every picture, I'm like, oh, crow's feet. Oh, what's that little wrinkle there? Yeah, I mean, and then also, on my birthday night out, I was in Liverpool, best city ever, and the bouncer ID'd a couple of the people I was with who were around my age. So I was like, oh, don't you need to ID me? Also, it's my birthday, so I really want to be ID'd. And he was like, no, we don't take bus passes, love. Absolutely. I was like,
rude.
It literally hurt quite a lot, if I'm honest.
Well, you're getting a strongly worded letter tomorrow morning, sir.
All sick on your feet at the end of the night.
Honestly, if someone tells me I look under 28 at any point, I would kiss them all over.
Thing is, babe, people think I'm 30.
What?
Yeah. I did a job recently and someone was like, oh yeah, but you're like obviously over 30. I was like,
No, you don't look that.
You don't look it. I get it on the fact that I think you give off, despite the fact
especially
that she's currently got a pencil on her upper lip being stupid. No, I genuinely think you give off a really mature energy for your age.
Yeah. But this is something, isn't it? I really, it's one of those things, and I hate to turn this podcast episode into something it isn't, but...
Oh, don't, we love a tangent. We love a tangent.
You are just always, it's one of those things where you're like, why? But why is it a compliment when we go, no, oh my God, no, you don't look over 30. Or like, why am I so happy when someone says I look young? It's like...
It's
ingrained in us. And I try not to beat myself up too much, because like you said, like it's ingrained. And also... it's the industry, like it's hard as an actor, because you're like, I feel like the first 5 years of my career was probably like going up for the really young roles, because I still looked like younger for my age. So
you've got a baby face as well, haven't you?
Yeah, but then now I'm like wrinkly baby. baby elephant.
I've gone from being toddler to baby.
Dumbo is my casting. Yeah, Dumbo's my casting.
She's Benjamin Button in.
Yeah. Oh my God. But yeah, so anyway, I try not to beat myself up, but that is just an annoying thing, isn't it? It's a kind of, I don't know if it's worse for women. Of course I do. It's worse for women.
It is. I blame the patriarchy.
I blame the patriarchy for all of it. But that we were talking about our castmates.
Well, on that topic, I don't think it ever ends well. Question?
Really?
I don't know. That's a good question. Like, in my experience, not that it's necessarily ended. Well, no, it has ended badly.
Yeah.
Have you not stayed friends with any of those?
No. Nor do I want to. Really? But not necessarily because, you know, we had a massive fight or like someone was massively, well, I was gonna say someone was massively out of line, but
it's but the thing,
it just never like it just never worked out. I feel like you know, it is a bit of a showmance sometimes, and that's what's lovely about it, because it's in the moment, and then once the moment's over, you're like, oh, I can't see you anymore.
Yeah.
Do you think as well there's a thing of like, I don't know if this is when you've had this happen, but like when you're playing opposite somebody, if you're in love with the character, your character's meant to be in love with each other, there must be something. And if you were doing like a long run of a show where you're in love with the other person, you're having to act it.
Yeah.
I wonder if there's some like actual scientific thing.
There is. And I was reading a book about this. Have you read it, really? James?
No.
Yeah, so this book, basically, it's by, I think it's by Andy Nyman.
Oh, I love him, yeah.
The Golden Rules of Acting. Anyone that hasn't read
it. Favourite book.
Yeah, fave book.
I've got it over there, look.
Is it on your bookshelf?
It's bloody good. Well, there's a paint. Do you know what? I've freaking got it on mine as well.
Yeah, it's a go-to.
Here we go.
It's a go-to at any point. I've got both over there.
Hang on, the Golden Rules of Acting.
Oh my God,
darling. Nobody Ever Tells You.
And she's I've got only even got more the Golden double edition.
That Nobody Ever Tells You. Where is it? I'm going to read it out to you like a little. I've got both.
Once again, for the listeners at home, this isn't. What's his name?
Andy Nyman.
Not
this,
an ad.
This isn't an ad for you. We'd love to collaborate.
I've literally got exactly the same.
I actually met him. I met him last year and I was a bit of a loser fangirl. I was like,
really?
I really love that book you wrote.
It's so really good though.
It is good.
For those of you who don't know what we're talking about and fangirling over, so this book, you can get it on Amazon. It's practically dirt cheap. It's really good for what it is. And if you're a performer, it gives you a really visually appealing guide to really important rules for acting, and
it's very grounding, isn't it?
Yeah. And it's not really pretentious or witty. It's just really, really honest, really what I found them really helpful, especially for auditions.
Or when you're feeling anytime you're just feeling a little bit like, why did I choose to do this again? What am I doing? It's quite a good way of checking back in with yourself and going, oh, because I this, like, and it says in the book.
It's really reaffirming to know that that someone else has written this and that everybody's going through this. And talking to you guys now, we all feel it, but no one ever bloody talks about it. So
I know.
Yeah, it's really good.
Have you found it, Danny?
Yeah, can you find it?
No, I can't find the bloody bit in the book, but...
Classic.
He says something about...
Go on, give us a Danny's dictionary definition.
Well, he says something about how when you are playing opposite someone and you look someone in the eye for like an extended period of time. Oh, wait, is it here?
Beth's good at looking people in the eye.
Oh my God, is it here? You train your imagination every night to think you're in love with this person. Your brain finds it hard to distinguish between imagination.
I hate to bring this podcast to yet another completely different subject, but is love not in general, love is a lot to do with imagination and like belief in something. Yeah. Like you can kind of, it's not like, I don't mean to like make love seem really sort of unexciting.
Artificial. Yeah.
Yeah. But like it is, there is an element of kind of like thinking yourself up, thinking it into being sometimes. And yeah.
Do you not feel like that a lot of time? And I'm very much in the camp of that when it comes to acting. Like if I'm in love with someone in a show, I need to sort of create those feelings to actually feel that. And I looked into it and I was like, actually, when you look at people, these couples that have been together a week and they're like, I love you, baby. I'm like, you don't love each other though.
No.
You've just got yourself into that headspace where you think you can love that person and you almost force yourself to do it. And eventually the feelings will produce. And
it's
what we do with all acting. We don't actually like have to see someone die to know how we'd feel. And to reciprocate that replicate sorry that emotion.
It's like if you were to play a part where you are having to watch someone die, like something sad is happening, you are gonna probably feel quite drained after, or maybe a bit sad. So it's no different, I guess, if you're playing a character that either like really fancies somebody or really. But I'm just remembering actually when I did Romeo and Juliet. I did Romeo and Juliet. And the guy that played Romeo was just lovely. Like we got on really, really well. But I definitely found myself like wanting to be around him or like in at the pub, like wanting to be like sat around. We didn't have a showmance or anything. Like I had a boyfriend, like I wasn't interested in that happening. But like it was just like a weird sort of. And I don't think it was just that we were friends. It was like, because we were playing those parts, maybe you just sort of, I'm aware this might sound incredibly wacky.
No, I've definitely felt like that before. I've definitely been in shows where I've been connected to people. I feel one of the strongest times I've had it was with you guys. The fact that I just wanted to go for lunch with you.
That's true, actually. It's not about necessarily a romantic
thing. Or dating, but I knew. I wanted to be your friends.
Yeah, sometimes you do jobs and you just don't feel like that. And that's okay.
Yeah. Mm.
But it's very nice when you do a job where you're like, oh my God, I love these people.
I actively would try and get into my dressing room. Well, my dressing room. There's another story. The four of us, bear in mind, one male, three females had to share a dressing room for this show. Really bad.
On the phone as they speak.
It was also about the size of like Harry Potter's cupboard. It was like
it was.
And we were like sharing it with another show who were doing like
in the mornings. Yeah, I totally forgot.
Yeah, a kids
that.
Show, and they had all these cat costumes or something in there.
Yeah, in fairness, their costumes. Their stuff was shoved to like one end and we took up the whole space.
We did, because we were playing like 40 characters. Did we have a rule in there not to do a poo in that loo?
We did.
I found, in general, that seems to be the thing in dressing rooms. You're like, let's find another loo for poo.
For poo.
Yeah.
You've got to find the poo loo, because otherwise...
Well, it's just common courtesy, isn't it?
It really is. It really is.
And it doesn't bode well if you're going to date a cast member to in their space.
Oh, well, I suppose that is what they say, like, don't where you eat, which is something that, like, maybe that's, I don't know, James, whether you agree with this. Is that why we've not had a showman? Is it because you've been thinking you don't want to where you eat?
Let's talk video.
Our favourite part.
How's going wild? So
are they on fire
or a bit chilly trying to warm the hands up?
Yeah, absolutely. So or they got asthma. So for those of you that don't know and are just tuning in this week, for the superstar that is Beth Lilly,
that'll be most section people.
Yeah, the majority of our audience. Clearly
this is the section of the podcast where we play a video via audio.
Ooh, on a podcast. How unique, how out there, how wacky.
Who'd have thunk it? Right, so what I'm going to do is, first of all, I've decided for you, James, I'm going to play yours first. Is that okay?
Of course it is.
Okay, Marv. Oh, 10 movie couples who fell in love in real life. Ooh, here we go.
Celebrities are just like us when it comes to love. Sometimes famous actors and actresses might develop a crush with a coworker when filming. Sparks continue to fly after the cameras stop rolling because it's hard to fight off good chemistry. Here are 10 movie star couples who met on set. Brangelina. Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie soon turned into a power couple after filming Mr. and Mrs. Smith in 2005. Pitt was married to Jennifer Aniston at the time, but soon enough their marriage was over and Brangelina was ready to travel the world while raising six kids. This isn't Pitt's first relationship that formed on set either, because he and Gwyneth Paltrow were an item back in the 90s after co-starring in the thriller Seven. Jennifer Aniston and Justin Theroux. Unlike Brangelina, these two were able to keep their relationship on the down low. Jennifer Aniston and Justin Theroux were first introduced on the Tropic Thunder set by mutual friend Ben Stiller.
So, interestingly, I thought this would be perfect because the amount of Hollywood couples that meet on set is ridiculous. But this video is heavily, as we saw just then, infatuated with Jennifer Aniston. And
yeah,
I just love it. And I love Jennifer Aniston, but... at the Friends reunion, was it at the beginning of this year? End of last year? I can't remember.
But end of last year.
End of last year. Okay. Time's flying, isn't it? But in that reunion, they were talking about whether any of them actually hooked up or anything. And the fact that Ross and Rachel, Jennifer and what, David? What?
I'm so sorry.
What's happened? Have I made? What have I done?
It was just you when you said time's flying, isn't it?
Time's flying.
Sorry, and then I think it just kept replaying in our head.
So you changed that after that. Well,
yeah. Sorry, go back.
Don't worry. Recap. So at the reunion that flew by in time. David Schwimmer and Jennifer Aniston, they admitted that they both fancied each other at various points. They were always in relationships. And going back to what we were saying in the last section, I mean, because you watch them and they do fall in love in the show. There's so much passion and like chemistry there between them. And you always say, it's the same for me with Harrison Ford and Carrie Fisher in Star Wars. You always look at them and go, how did you not just each other senseless? And seeing it now, I'm like, so it was true. And I suppose a little disclaimer, I'm not saying just because people have good chemistry they instantly have or want to shoot, but In some cases, it makes sense. But yeah, that's my video.
That's why we all with each other.
On Canic Chase.
With the sheep. Why am I so speciality today?
Yeah, apparently.
Danny, we don't want to get a name for ourselves. We've done.
No, I definitely don't. Anyway, moving on. So next up, we've got my video.
Wow, it's like a dirty math problem.
Sorry, the answer there would be none of us.
Yeah, and you know what? If that doesn't change soon, I'm going to dump you for somebody who puts out. Come on, over the years, none of you ever got, you know, drunk and stupid.
Well, that's really a different question.
I'm sorry. I find it hard to believe that a group of people who spends as much time together as you guys do has never bumped uglies.
Well, there was that one time that Monica and Rachel got together.
What? Excuse me, there was no time.
Okay, but let's say there was.
Anyway, so this is obviously from Friends. How funny.
Literally, it's like we're all in sync.
But time flies.
Wait, did you both...
Leave me alone.
Did you pick these? Pick? Did you pick these separately?
Yeah, so we...
Yeah, we never know what the other person's picked.
Yeah.
Oh my God, that's so weird.
I'm a bug, babe. Can you believe
it? I can't believe it.
So, I picked this episode... this clip. It's not a Friends podcast. I picked this clip because...
Wish it was.
Yeah, I do too. Actually, I think it'd be better. And obviously, as per time flies over there, obviously some of them did fancy each other. But the fact that it's a group of friends. And they've all sort of, like, later in the episode, they obviously go around and they go, well, I actually fancied you.
Yeah.
I feel like that's just what happens when you're on a show. Like, even if you're in a relationship. Sorry, boyfriend. Mm-hmm. But even if you're in a relationship, it's like, oh, but that person could have with that person. And
That's always the biggest mystery, though, for me. The people who are in relationships and who have a really great connection with someone.
And does that not happen? That seems to happen a lot. I see that happen a lot.
It's the Strictly curse.
The Strictly curse. And that
isn't it just? Like,
I don't know whether it's... Yeah. Is it because actors are like...
So promiscuous, yes.
No, they're in their bodies.
Oh, right. And they're just so impulsive. So they're like, you know... I say they. Yeah. We are so impulsive. So... Yeah. You just don't know what's going to happen at any point. And
I'll throw one out there. Post-show horn.
What's that? Is that when you have a after the show?
Well, not necessarily a but you...
God, that bow really got me going. Oh, my God.
But, no, like, I always find that if, especially if it's, like a passionate role, if you're, like... getting with anyone.
Sorry, I'm just thinking. I'm just remembering.
You're on Pornhub.
No, but that's reminded me of the one person maybe that I have dated that I met on a show, but we didn't date till like 3 years afterwards. So it doesn't really count as a showman. But I love how you're like, you know, maybe you played raunchy, sort of passionate roles. We were siblings. So we were siblings, in the show. So I guess that really got us going.
Yeah.
3 years later, you know, we just held it in so long.
I mean, thankfully so. What, you were playing siblings?
Yeah.
Bro and sis. It's a bit weird, isn't it? I don't think it was there for either of us when we were doing the show. It wasn't for me.
Thank God. That's all I'll say.
I don't think it was for either of us. Yeah. Weird, isn't it? Weird.
It's interesting that it then developed.
Yeah, I guess to be fair, I was wearing like a petticoat, bloomers. Like it is a lot, isn't it, for a man to handle.
And we are back with our final section of the podcast, which I love that we've titled The Juicy Deets. I feel like we've had a lot of juicy deets.
Too many deets.
Yeah. But the main thing I want to ask is, well, firstly, any more stories, get them out now while you can. And secondly, should we encourage or discourage a showmance? Do we care?
Do we care?
These are the questions.
Do we care?
I couldn't give a shit. Like, if you want to, like, I've known showmances to really go well, really go wrong, and to be honest, I just live for it. I love seeing. I don't live for the drama normally.
I love the drama, Mick. I
just love it. And no, I don't like seeing people get hurt or anything like that. But I do love, I do like it when it gets a bit.
I love the build up.
Chaotic.
Do you like being the middle person that both the people are chatting to, James? Is that what you're into? Not like being the middle person
in the three. You
know, yeah. Yeah, not in the three way.
Oh God, because that's never.
Although that too,
before.
I don't know.
No, do you like it when you've got like that, both of them going, I don't know, has he said this?
And I hate it.
No, I don't want to be the person in the middle. I want to be on the sidelines.
I literally want to be spectators from sides. I do like knowing what's going on. I hate being the one in like the cast that doesn't know. I remember there was a couple of little flirty moments on one of my shows. And I remember being, we weren't called for the day. And I remember being at home, so I didn't go out of the night. And then I got in the next day, and one of my friends was like, "Do you know?" And I was like, "Do I know what?" And everything.
Is that not the best thing ever that a friend could ever say?
Well,
do you know?
Do you know? It's great, but I hate the feeling of being the odd one out that doesn't know. I've always had that. Yeah. But this happens to me a lot. Like,
What, you're the odd one out that doesn't know?
I always miss the good nights out. There was a moment at drama school when I was really poorly with my eyes in first year. So I did the first half of the year up till October, so Halloween time. Then I had to go off and I didn't come back till after Christmas. And
oh, no.
I in fact still came out with the first.
Oh my God.
Got an agent. Yeah. No, I worked hard, but I felt so I'd already been removed from like the building of the relationship of the year, and then I came back in January and everyone had started f-ing each other, and I was but everyone had done it, so all the relationships were like paired, so I just came in and I was like, get your candles out,
don't wanna be here.
So, how many of them are still together now? Not many.
None of them.
I think one couple that got together in my year are still together.
Do you know what it is?
Probably two in the whole school.
Yeah. The ones who last are the ones that get together at the end in
third year. Yeah, that is true, actually.
Oh, no, that didn't happen for me.
Did it not? It's the ones in first year that, for me, were like, no.
Yeah. Flop, yeah, the first freshest snog and they just like pair up and you're like, wow, okay.
I kissed my roommate, Eve. Hi Eve, if you're listening, love you. She's like one of my besties.
All about Eve.
But yeah, me and Eve like full-on snogged on one of our first freshest nights. She also told a really horrific joke on our first day. Like, funny, horrific. Like, it was a really dark joke. And I just looked at, and bear in mind, she's Scottish, and she was like, hey, oh, yeah. And I won't tell you what the joke was. I'll tell you.
Well, yeah. No wonder you couldn't help yourself. I mean,
But I said, me and her, we're going to be very good friends.
I'm going to shove my tongue down her throat.
Anyone with a Scottish accent, though, you're like, well, take me now.
Yeah. To be honest, the Scottish accent.
Bend me over. Sorry, maybe cut that one out. Yeah. I agree with James. I don't really care. I think what I don't love is watching when you know someone's got a boyfriend or girlfriend or whoever at home and seeing them either getting very close or like, you know, actually cheating on their part. I don't love being a bystander of that.
No. That's never nice.
That always makes me a bit sad. But also, for the most part, like, that doesn't happen. I know I said it happens all the time, but maybe I'm going back on that because I've just done a tour and it didn't happen. You know, everyone managed to keep their hands to themselves. As far as I know.
I don't like it when it's, you know, one person's clearly just in it for the show. And then the other person actually sees a future together.
I've seen that before. That's
hard to watch, especially when that's you care nice. About the person who wants the relationship.
And it's, I think what must be hard about it is that you literally, same as I guess if you go out with someone at drama school, like you can't escape it. Like you can't, I don't know, you see them every day for doing the show.
It's all encompassing as well, because you're like doing scenes together, you're doing movement together, you're doing voice classes, you're doing like scene prep, you're doing research,
nights out, social things, probably living together in digs.
I'm so glad. Like, I had a long distance boyfriend for the whole of uni and it was actually great. It just meant I didn't have any awkward people in my year, and I just stayed mates with everyone. And then slept with them when I broke up with my boyfriend. No, that's not true.
It is a little bit though, isn't it?
Just a tiny bit. I don't love it if it's like affecting, like for example, Beth, if it was you and whoever it was being your brother and you started shacking up during the show.
Oh, that would have been bad.
I would actually get a bit pissed off if it affected the show.
And it's like, does. Like,
well, your brother and sister, like this isn't believable.
Yeah, in that there were three of us that were all the same age and playing siblings, and I think that would have been bad if any of us of the three had done that. And that's, you know, I think unless you just do it up together.
Well, Each their own. If you can make a sibling relationship work on stage whilst you're shitting, then good luck to you.
more.
I don't know who can do that.
Better to you. Oh, I couldn't. Yeah, I get that? Really, I don't know. I don't want to make this sound like I've got really depraved sexual things, but I kind of like that people don't know what my sex life's like while I'm working. I don't know whether...
That's impressive. I tell everyone everything, so I'm quite envious of that.
Don't get me wrong. Like, in my personal life, I'd love to have a sit down and talk about it, but in terms of...
I
treat it like work, like it's an office space. You wouldn't go into I don't know. Would you go into the office and say you've been shitting all weekend?
I did maybe the other day, to be fair.
If you're temping, you've got to do it. You've got to talk about anything to pass the time.
Yeah, exactly. And the guy on reception, he did musical theatre. He knows the game. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, he's all about it.
Yeah, yeah, I bet he is.
Yeah.
And that brings us to the end of this week's episode. Thank you so much, Beth, for being a part
of
it.
You're welcome. Well, I guess the motto is do who and what you want to do on your job. Just don't piss people off. Thank you. The end.
Even if it's a dog. Go for it.
Oh my god, this episode needs to end purely on to get rid of these weird bestiality moments.
Yeah.
Thanks for having me.
Pleasure.
You're so welcome.
We've been so excited to get you in, and
you have been my biggest showman. No, genuinely,
because we've actually stayed really good friends.
Yeah.
I will just that is a nice thing to maybe say. The fact that, if I say so myself, but like showmance is when it comes to friendships, like my God, some of the people that you make friends with on this job, I don't know if it's something to do with the fact that it's acting or maybe you get this in other jobs. I don't think you do.
No.
Like you just meet some, I've met some people, like friends that I have just completely fallen head over heels in love with, and they have to put up with me now for the rest of their lives.
Yes! You ain't going anywhere.
We love it. Well, Beth, thank you so much. We appreciate you. We love you.
I love you. Can I come back to do another one?
Of course.
I think we've got about 5 different topics that I've written.
A million different things.
I think you've given us 5 reasons to get you back.
Yes. It's really fun.
Well, thank you very much, everyone, for listening. And tune in next week for Let's Talk Drag with another special guest.
All will be revealed next week.
Bye.
Bye-bye.